Okay, it's called a meeting to order.
Does it need to assess the revenue? Will they be
something? I could get everybody to take your seats so we can get ourselves organized for tonight's meeting.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming. It's not often we have as many people here to see a new election of the officers, but we do appreciate it. One of the things I want to tackle this year is just kind of explain at every meeting. I know there's a lot of people who probably don't go to our meetings that often, but I will explain the way we do member voice. And typically the way we do member voice now is we provide our residents, members, the opportunity to speak to any issue that opportunity provided us at the beginning of the meeting. There may be an opportunity in the agenda. I don't see any on the agenda tonight where we have an item under motion, which means the board will decide an issue. And typically when we have an item under motion, we do provide a member voice slot on the agenda for that. But since we have no member voice options tonight, no motion items tonight, then the only open voice period will be at the beginning of the meeting. I say that because the board does try to stick to Robert's Rules of Order. The reason for that is the directors, being the policy-making body of the community, are responsible for making the decisions regarding policy. And once we get into the heart of the meeting, the rules apply so that the disruptions don't impede the meeting. There's a lot of you here. I'm sure we all want to get home to watch whatever it is you watch. but we also want to take the meeting seriously, so we do need some level of focus. So the reason why I say a lot is we're going to provide an opportunity for each of you to speak at that member voice now. We'll provide 3 minutes for you to speak on a topic. We have six people signed up for tonight's member voice. I'll call you up in order with which you registered. And we'll kind of give you an indication when you get near the end so you can summarize your thoughts. We don't want to be rude about it, but again, it's try to get us through the meetings as quickly as possible. I know Mr. Cook is here, and he can explain. He probably remembers the days when meetings might have gone on ad infinitum, and we're trying to avoid that. So let's just jump right in, shall we? We have a Peter Andrioletti. Did I get that right?
That's right. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Can I neighborhood, please?
Harbor Bluff.
Thank you.
Or Harbor Point and Harbor Hill Place. Joyce and a lot of people here have seen me before, and I thank them very much for all the things they've done and addressed some of my concerns in the past. I'm here this evening to represent the concerns of the Harbor Point residents with regard to the proposed HCA facility. We have major concerns that the project size, scope, as currently designed, will have a negative impact on Harbor Point residents as regards to traffic, architectural compliance, lighting, noise, and the environment. You will hear more detail from those who follow. Harbor Point residents are organized to protest the continued development of the plant. 98 residents of 58 homes attended our April 14th meeting. This turnout was in spite of the BCA notice that most received stating the meeting had been canceled. I think it's an excellent turnout. It was an excellent meeting. Each neighborhood now has a captain who will soon circulate a petition stating our objections. If it is determined that legal counsel is required, we will host a fund drive to finance that effort. Among our members of the steering committee is an environmental expert, accredited green specialist, a former county planning department member, a former BCA member, and an attorney. Harbor Point residents should not be severely and negatively impacted by any development at the entrance. Lastly, I'm here to ask for your support, formal support of the BCA in protecting our neighborhood, quality of life, and our investments. Thank you. Now I've got one of these that we can pass back so you can have a copy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions?
Mr. Cook, I believe you're next, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Robert Cook. I live at 5905 Harbor Hill Place. Here to address our concerns about the medical facility. It'll impact me greatly because it's right behind my house, as well as my other neighbors. As we go through this process, what I'd like to ask is your support in listening to the Harbor Point residents and understanding that their concerns are valid, as well as the fact that if we have 300, 400 people in Harbor Point and all we're unanimous in our voice, then I feel the board should be representative of that since you do represent our community. And one of the other issues is the fact that this is really a Harbor Point issue. It'll affect nobody else in Brandonville but Harbor Point. You know, it's right at our entrance, and it'll affect us going and coming to our homes as well as the people that will butt right up to the facility. So as we go through the process of looking at the concerns, and that's what we're doing as a committee, to understand the plan, to understand the impact it's going to have on the neighborhood and all the things that Peter mentioned, that's what we're looking at. One of the things I wanted to address is the fact that when I was on the board, we were concerned about Brandonville bringing itself up to today's standards of some of the newer communities and competing with those communities. One of the things that we looked at is all the newer communities are building these really nice entrance ways to their communities. You know, if you go to Woodlake, they just redid theirs. Magnolia Green's finishing up theirs. And everybody who has a newer, you know, high-end neighborhood, the entrance way is really, really dynamic. You know, our entrance way is turning into a business park. I mean, basically, it's being obscured by everything that's being built there. And if we build this medical facility, it's going to lose even more identity. So, I mean, that's just one of the issues of all the others. You know, I really, really, you know, think that we just need to go through the process and make sure as a community and as the board to examine all of these. I also want to thank you for your service to the community. I know it's hard to be on the board. I've been there, and I thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Joe Herbst, please. Thank you.
I've got some, I'm going to talk about architectural design and brought some illustrations of the latest proposal as of last week in case the board members haven't seen that. We're here, I think all of these folks speaking tonight, Member Comet, are here representing the Harbor Point Residents Association to ask for your help. As you've already heard, the residents of Harbor Point are very concerned about various aspects of the proposed facility. One of the most important that is within your power to influence is the architectural design of the building and its appropriateness to the surroundings at the entrance to Harbor Point. This, of course, is addressed in the Brandonville Commercial Design Standards, and careful interpretation of these standards is very important to all residents of Brandonville. It could be argued that the covenants and design standards represent the essence of a planned community. Certainly all of us depend upon the design standards and the covenants to protect the appeal of our neighborhoods and the quality and value of our property. In this particular instance, it is especially important to the residents of Harbor Point that the Brandonville Architecture Review Board fulfill the duties of care and loyalty that it has to the residents. This is true because the proposed facility will drastically alter the tone of the entrance to Harbor Point and is clearly not sympathetic to the residential community or to the existing commercial development in Harbor Point Executive Center. Let me share just a few points from the relevant language from the Commercial Design Standards as updated in October of 2011. In Section 4.1, titled Building Form and Context, I quote, commercial and multifamily structures should be appropriate in form, massing, and appearance to the character of their immediate neighborhood or development, and especially to the residential community, development, and specifically sympathetic to buildings directly adjacent. All colors, materials, and finishes are to be coordinated in a consistent manner on all elevations. I could go into more detail here, but this building is clearly not sympathetic to the directly adjacent buildings in form, massing, and appearance. In the section 4.2, exterior facades, it says the architectural vocabulary of details and elements of commercial buildings should be appropriate to commercial use and architecture, but of a scale that is sympathetic to the residential community. All colors, materials, and finishes are to be coordinated in a consistent manner on all elevations. And then in the section titled Existing Characteristics of This Zone Relative to the Harbor Point Executive Center specifically, the first bullet point says, located at the entrance to Harbor Point, this area sets the tone for the residential community behind it. Another bullet point relevant just to this particular piece of property says, the undeveloped parcel adjacent to residential lots shall utilize residential contemporary or transitional styled architecture with earth tone materials and colors to blend with the natural landscape.
Mr. Fritz, we're beyond 3 minutes. The board's got your point about the
I'm almost done. I can I borrow some time from the two who did take it?
That would be up to them.
Not to me. Thank you, Jim. Roofs of any building, and then another point says, roofs of any building constructed after the issuance date of these standards shall be metal standing seam. Based upon the input that we have had so far from the ARB, the developer has made changes to the building. Most importantly, they've added a mansard roof, which you can see around the flat portion of the building, to bring it into greater conformity with the standards and the surrounding architecture. However, the developer continues to insist upon the need for a radically different roof design above the round tower. This element, which the architect refers to as an iconic design element, is intended to cause the building to stand out. It is also intended that this roof element be white in color, instead of using the earth tones that are required and planned for the rest of the structure. Additionally, is it intended that this roof element above the round tower be illuminated at night? We believe that the building is sympathetic. We believe that while much of the building is sympathetic to the surrounding architecture, this round UFO-style element clearly is not. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the appearance of the entrances to Brandon was important. You are to be commended for the part you have played in deciding to update and redesign the landscaping at most of the entrances. We are just as concerned that the main entrance to our neighborhood projects the tone that was intended, a tone that is sympathetic to the residential neighborhoods behind it. Our entrance is challenging because there's so much commercial development there. How do you define sympathetic? The ARB has told us that
this is... We're well beyond 3 minutes. So I understand your opinion, but there are other speakers that wish to speak.
Okay.
I appreciate
I'll just finish up by saying we did a survey. I can make it available to you. This is not a minority opinion of the people who have taken the survey.
That would be grand.
And so we would ask that you would work with us to influence the ARB to come up with a project that truly does... is sympathetic and benefits the entrance.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, could we note for the speaker that if he'd like to make copies of his comments since they were written and submit them to the BCA office before to us?
Thank you. I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Herbst. All right, I'm going to try Egina Younger. Egina Younger. Did I get it right? Egina? I do want to reiterate, just for the sake of expediency, 3 minutes is what we have. And there might be, even though there aren't speakers registered beyond you, there might be some others that wish to speak. So we keep our comments to 3 minutes.
I am a resident of Harborwood, and I have been there for 8 years. One of the reasons that we moved to that community was because we do not have a through traffic situation, and because it's more of a residential area instead of a business area, a commercial area. I do work for the Allen Law Firm, which is right across the street. And, of course, the facility could benefit the firm. However, I think that there are a lot of areas within our community, outside of the Harborwood community, that would truly benefit HCA to locate in that location other than in our neighborhood. However, what I want to focus on, and I will be less than 3 minutes, is the fact that we... I've seen one of your buildings in the Boulders. I think you all have a building similar to a site in the Boulders. From what I've seen, the structure of the building is similar to the building you all have built in the Boulders. Similar to the building that's in the Boulders. And that location is perfect for a building like that. However, what we're asking that you all do is represent Harbor Point for a community, not for a commercial area. The traffic, as we all know that live in Harbor Point, is already becoming an issue, trying to get in and out of the community. We do not have two entrances or two exits, and I know that there has been some talk of another exit or another way of getting in and out if this HCA building is built there. However, the way everything is structured with the light and the way it, and it's my understanding it's not going to change, the way that that's done is holding up traffic leaving, and it's going to be very difficult to get in and out. So we would like you all to consider that as well, addressing that when you speak to HCA and representing us with that information as well. I don't know. I have younger children. I guess in some facts they may be young, but I have young children. And they ride their bicycles through the community. They go down to the reservoir very often. We go kayaking. We use all of these facilities. I am not comfortable allowing my children to go use these facilities when we have a building of this size in our community with different people coming in and out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I have worked with several facilities, and I've worked with HCA in a law firm, and I know that HCA is a strong business. They do very well at what they do, but they're not a company that I see open to a lot of negotiations. So I'm hopeful that you all will represent us strong in asking that they consider relocating to another area or making some changes to that building. I wish I could have brought photos of the building, but there were people there when I was there looking at that facility. And that facility is nothing like what Harbor Wood stands for or Harbor Point stands for. So please represent us strongly.
Okay, Ms. Younger, thank you very much.
Thank you so
much. I appreciate your taking time for us tonight. Jim Lehman, please. So Jim Lehman tonight.
I'm Jim Lehman. I'm in Land's End. I've been a resident of Brandon Mill for 18 years, and I've got a unique perspective on this in that I was a planner with Henrico County for 30 years. I also know the civil engineer on the project. I've seen the plans, and I walk the site. Basically, to keep it short, my concerns are two things. This development will be right at the entrance to Harbor Point. We need to make sure that this development does not impair the view of our neighborhood as you come in. And this can be accomplished, I'm sure, with a large amount of landscaping along Harbor Point Road. Also, a second thing should be done is that the entrance and signage should clearly indicate the entrance and to direct all traffic along Harbor Lane and not to Harbor Point Road. I think these two things by themselves will address a lot of the concerns of neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lamb. We have Wendy Butler here tonight to speak to the board.
She couldn't make it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hurst. Is there anybody else? Now that we're through all of the folks that registered, is there anybody else that would like to speak before Member Byrd, board? This gentleman right here, if you wouldn't mind. Give us the neighborhood you represent. That would be great.
Harbor Hill. I'm right there. It's in my backyard. My name is Wayne Gerlich. I've been here a total of 26 weeks. Not the fact that the real estate agent lied to us about the open space behind it. I do want to point out three specific things. If you put a large, major structure that is not congruent with the rest of the area, that becomes the representative of what our community is. And I tell you, that building is not representative of my house or my neighbors. Two, traffic issue. I read the report. I read their computation of figures. I work for the IRS. I work for large corporations. That traffic pattern is not consistent with the cost effectiveness for that size of a building. That traffic is going to be well more than 2,500 people to make that building cost effective, a viable situation. You have to support all the staff that is there during normal business hours for the offices and for the 24/7 clinic. It's not going to be 2,496 cars. It's going to be somewhere closer to 7,000 just to make it effective. That have to pass through there so that enough money comes in there to run that clinic 24 hours a day. These representative facts, that building will represent what our community looks like. It will separate Harbor Point from the Brander Mill logo, from the Brander Mill idea, because that will become what Harbor Point is. We will lose our identity as part of all of Brander Mill. I was not going to buy into a neighborhood that had a homeowners association fee. We were dead set against it. But the community that we saw overruled those objections, and we came here. We like what we saw. We saw what was good. I got lied to that my backyard is going, but that's besides the point. We need to protect the community that the Brander Mill name, that it represents what is stately and good. And if that building does not represent it, it can't take over our image.
Yes, sir. If I could get your neighborhood and name, please, sir.
My name is Don Blum. I'm a resident of Promontory Point. In the interest of full disclosure, I should mention that my wife is a registered architect and is a member of the Brander Mill Architecture Review Board. However, these remarks reflect my opinion and not necessarily hers. I'm not going to speak directly to the issue of the overnight emergency facility, other to say that as a 68-year-old man, the idea of knowing that a physician will always be 1 minute from my doorstep whenever I choose to have my stroke, it seems like not a bad idea to me. I guess I'm representing a minority perspective that was raised by at least one or two other members at the community meeting last month. And what I would say is that I'm certainly not an expert in design. I'll leave that to my wife. But even to my untrained eye, this facility does seem to be an appealing building architecturally. And the concern that was expressed by some folks last month, and certainly I subscribe to it, is that if this facility, in whatever form it finally ends up, were not to be built, this is a commercially zoned property, and it is 11 acres, and we could certainly end up with a sprawling, less attractive campus that would have even more square feet of space and generate even more traffic. So I guess I think we have to be a little careful about what we wish for. And it does seem to me, just from what I do know, that the HCA has been reasonably responsive. They, I think, in response to both concerns expressed by the ARB and by residents of Brander Mill of Harbor Point previously, made at least, gone back at least twice with design changes, which can't be inexpensive. So it seems to me that they've been reasonable up to that point, and it does seem to me that there are some, you know, there's a fine line between good design and design that everyone in the community, that the community wants, and so I guess it's the role of the ARB to determine where that line falls. I would say that I see a positive in the fact that the owner is a major corporation that presumably cares about its public image and can be counted on to maintain the property to a reasonably high standard. The one issue that I think is legitimate relates to traffic and what, if anything, can be done to help ease the flow of additional traffic that would be generated by this or any other facility that might be developed on that property. And this is an issue not with the county, not specifically with ARB or the BCA, but I would hope that BCA would join the Harbor Point residents in approaching the county to assure that every reasonable step is taken to address the traffic concerns. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blum. Is there anybody else wishes to speak for Member Voice tonight? Ms. McNeil.
It's O'Neill.
Ms. O'Neill.
I'm not going to talk about Harbor. Although I own property there, and I see both sides. First of all, Joyce, I'd like to thank you for writing this letter with regard to the roads. The draft letter that was posted. Nice to.
That's going to be on the agenda tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. I would like to see you add, stress a little bit more, that if we pay taxes, in my opinion, taxes should first go to infrastructure and schools before everything else. And if we don't get roads before we get social services, I think that's wrong. I saw also online the drawings for the roundabout, the suggested layout. It looks really nice. My concern is it's probably overplanted. I just spent a lot of time in Europe last summer, and roundabouts are a way of life there. But there are not signage, and there's not usually a lot of big trees and plantings in the middle, because it's imperative to be able to see through that roundabout. So I can't tell from the drawings, but from one of them, it looks like there's a fairly good-sized tree. And I don't think that that's the wisest place to put it. And also, I think our signage will have to be small. And I also understand from what I read that if we put one or two signs in that, then we're going to have to buy new ones because they won't allow the one with the message board on it. So I just wanted to find out a little bit more about that. Pardon me, I had a meeting before I came here, so I don't scribble to notes tonight. Oh, the last thing is, I'm not sure which committee is working on it, but I read bits and pieces about a treehouse or a play boat and a picnic area for the landing, but that's going to be on the next phase. Hopefully it's the next phase. I don't know that is an area that's conducive to playground or having young children playing with the number of cars, boats, and everything else going in and out of there. Especially, again, without, you know, adequate security. I would not like to see people ending up picnicking right there where boats are moving in and out. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen.
For the benefit of the board, I'd like everyone that's a Harbor Point resident that's here tonight to just raise their hand so they can see how many people support this position. Thank you.
Is there anybody else here for Harbor Point to speak about the issue or any issue that is? All right, we'll go to the regular part of the meeting. And I'd like to invite all of our Harbor Point residents to stay. It's not often we get this many people to a board meeting. We're going to talk about some other things that involve the community. If you'd like to stay, we appreciate your attendance. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. If you are leaving,
well, I'm only here for a
nice try. Okay. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from the fourth meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Any comments regarding the minutes from the fourth meeting? There being no comments, all those in favor of the minutes as they are written, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, you guys are all in luck tonight. There is no presence report unless Joyce would like to wrap up anything. No? Will there be any directors that would be adding to the presence report?
Yes, Mr. President. I'd like to note that Community Manager Fritz and I attended the Resource Management Group, the Hydrilla Task Force Group, this past week. It was a very productive meeting, actually. I think while the group did adopt the charter that we discussed earlier and had some issues with, it seems that there's peace in our time and they're going to let that work its way through. And Bob Malik was reelected as the current chair. That's a one-year term. And so they're moving forward again. But the report back was that the measurements that had been taken on the hydrilla, which include measurements in 2009 and then again in 2010, are showing, and I'll pass this around, they're showing some changes related to the concentration of hydrilla. There's some slight improvement in some of the areas of the lake, but those tend to be deeper water areas or areas closer to the two causeways. The Brandamill side tends to still be fairly concentrated. In fact, if you look at the green shading, the dark green shading, when I pass this around, you'll see that in October 2010, compared to previous months, hydrilla has continued to etch its way down towards Sunny Park and now begun to take the loop around towards Wood Lake, which is a major change. So I'll pass this around. But having said that, the report back was that we should begin to see this year with the carp, which, by the way, have now grown from the smaller version we saw put in a year ago up to 15 to 20 pounds, some improvement in the amount of coverage this year with a more dramatic improvement in 2012. Additionally, what was, I think, very helpful in the discussion, and you may want to comment on this as well, we raised two issues that the BCA board was concerned about and BCA staff was concerned about. One is the fact that we've got probably at least four coves that are highly impacted, the landing and coves on either side of it, because of the way the fetch normally runs. It's pushing the hydrilla towards it. Additionally, those coves are very shallow. The water temperature raises in those areas, which is ideal for hydrilla growth. It gets very impacted. The carp don't come in because it is so thick. We asked the county to go back and talk to the consulting firm that they hired to talk about that. Additionally, we talked about are there some ways to mitigate that, and the county indicated interest in exploring a small harvesting device that would open up those bays for at least recreational use by residents, and has agreed to go back and get information on what those mechanical items would cost. I had the chance to talk to Art Warren about 3 weeks ago, and he indicated he's very interested in seeing some movement on that and is willing to lead in getting some funds for that. There's already $25,000 set aside from his budget for this, and that's still available. The second piece was the removal of the dead hydrilla that washes on the shore in the fall and winter months, which is a huge mess. And in some pilot programs, including the Eagle Scout project, as well as some removal by BCA staff, it is a very labor-intensive effort to do that. It's going to take some equipment, including some bobcats. And again, the county seemed to be interested in exploring the potential for providing some funding, or at least some, if we rented equipment, so some reimbursement out of those funds for us to be able to do that kind of thing. We made the point that particularly now, after 2 or 3 years, we've got some experience of knowing where our most infested areas are and where it's most matted. And if we can concentrate on those areas and really work to open it up for our residents and to remove the dead hydrilla at the end of the season, then we can make some progress and then hope that the carp are going to do their job and start lessening the overall level of hydrilla. They are going to, in August, they're going to do a new census or a measurement of the hydrilla in June. They'll do another one in August. They are going to shock the lake in August to do the census for the carp, and then determine whether or not they add more carp. So I'm sure we'll get more information and let folks know about that.
You say shock, they're actually going to electrify the waters of the fish.
I'm assuming that's how they do it. They stun. They use the word stun.
Okay.
And the carp come up, and they go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
May I follow up to
I'd like to just have it on the record that Susan Smith had to resign from that committee, had sent her resignation in, and right before the annual meeting, the board appointed Mitch Zender to the committee. Mitch is a member of this community. He's been in the community for about, I think he said, 28 years. He lives over in the Harbor Point area. And I assume he came to that first meeting.
Yes, he was there.
He was really excited about being a part of this. I think he'll be a very active member.
The other thing I'll add to Dick's statement is that the last time when they added the cart, because they were adding so many, they had to have a huge truck, and the only place that they could put them in was down on the causeway. They've indicated that if they add to that number, and they don't need as many carp, they won't, it won't require as large of a truck, that there's a chance that they may add them to a different location rather than up by the causeway, which might bring them down closer to Brander Mill, although they do say that the carp were spotted almost the next day down near the water treatment plant. But at any rate, they may put them in a different location this time around. So, Roy Covington continued to say that there was never a large, that they never expected a lot of the hydrilla to be gone or a big difference to be seen in the first year, that in their reports everything had indicated that the largest number of changes to the hydrilla would be seen in the second and third year of the carp being in the lake. So I don't know. They're very optimistic going forward this year.
What's it like out there?
It was clear. I was there today, and I was all along the Wood Lake shore and our shore, and it's still, you're beginning to see the carp now. They are fairly busy, and you hear a lot of the fishermen out there, fisher people, out there talking about seeing the carp and how large they are. And they are along the Brandon Mills shoreline, but there is no surface hydrilla at this point. Any growth is now closer to the bottom of the lake.
But that doesn't happen until the warmer months.
Yes, the warmer the water, the higher the rate of growth.
And so it's turning the corner, heat-wise.
We never know until the heat comes.
Yes.
I think what I mean is it's basically in the Sunday's Park area now, and it possibly by next year it could be around the corner, which means the boat ramp down there and the Sunday's Boathouse restaurant, all those things.
Yeah, which is why we need to get the county committed to a program of harvesting to open those areas up for recreational boat use, and also a cleanup at the end of the season so that we're not stuck with the big smelly mess.
We're going to report back on that at the next.
Yes.
To open what areas for recreational boat use?
The bays that are currently get clogged and any future bays that get clogged, which could include Sunday Park area.
So to physically open?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the landing.
Definitely the landing, yeah.
Any other questions for Dick? Let's report, Dick. Manager report. Oh, I'm sorry. Any other director reports before we move on from there? Manager report.
I have nothing more to add other than what's in my report.
For those members that are new to the audience tonight, the manager report, and Helen, you're on the NRC. We do post our managers and Village Mill and committee reports are posted online, so you can view all of the minutes and notes that are provided to the board on both the Brandon Mill website and the NRC websites.
Yeah, just so you know, if I can, NRC broadcasted that, okay?
Yes,
let everybody know.
I am on the NRC broadcast as well. Thank you, Helen. Okay, committee reports. Is there anyone here from activities? Alan, can you report?
They are moving forward on their plans for the community cleanup day. I don't have the specifics in front of me, but they've, I think we had reported on that earlier, but they're moving forward on that particular project.
Anybody here from community character? Oh, the minutes are in. I'm sorry, you're right. The minutes are in the packet. Thank you. Thank you. As well as our first crime prevention and facilities. Give us a impact project plan update.
Yes. Unfortunately, we weren't able to meet in April because we lacked a quorum. But we had planned to meet on-site at the landings on Thursday afternoon, April 28th, and a number of MPOC chairs did do that, and we began our review of the landings for Phase 2 implementation, and we'll continue that this Thursday at 4 p.m. down at the landings and get the second part done. Other than that, there's nothing new to report other than what's already in my report.
Okay. Natural Resources Committee. And then minutes are in the packet. I gave you this. Alan, NRC. Okay. Moving on to the next item on the agenda then. Capital improvement fee amendment. Before we dive into this topic, the members of the community that are here might be aware of this issue. This is basically our current, basically the capital improvement fee is, and Dick, please jump in if I completely fumble this one. Our capital improvement fee is basically charged $150 per household that sells, so they get our new home packet. And is bought in the community. So we use that money as to build or keep our capital improvement fee, out of which the community takes on its new build projects, those items that aren't represented in the reserve study. So new programs like the potential park and the nut tree, I'm sorry, that next to the North Beach pool, those types of those items come from the capital improvement piece. And we had the our annual elections, we had on the ballot an increase to the capital improvement fee, and I don't remember what it was, the amount up to.
Up to one, equal to 1 year's assessment at the board's.
1 year's assessment. Yeah. The reason for that is our projections were showing that and this is where I get a little sketchy today. But basically, the item failed on the agenda by a scant 0.33% on the referendum, I'm sorry.
And it required a supermajority of 75%.
74.77% to do that, which means we will not be able to rebuild our capital improvement fee funds if we don't have this item. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that discussion?
No, I think it's a fair analysis. The Finance Committee strongly supported this. It's actually was an idea that generated in discussions in the Finance Committee. They looked at the current fee, which is $150. That generates, Jason, what we were saying, around $30,000 to $35,000, given the current home sales of a couple hundred homes a year. And that's a very limited amount of money, given what's being worked on through the master plan, where raising it to a maximum, and it wouldn't necessarily be, we wouldn't take it to the maximum right away, but the board would have that option, would allow us to have additional funds available for new amenities for the community. We also noted that almost all our surrounding community associations, large communities, now have that as capped at a one-year assessment. So regardless, it's going to have a significant impact this year when we prepare the 2012 budget. We will be limited in the amount of money that will be available for us to implement master plan projects. So things like Phase 2 of the landing or other things we'd like to do will be impacted by the limited amount of money that's available. And I think this board should consider whether or not we wait a year and try it again, whether we want to, which will mean 2 years downtime because we would have to wait to the 2013 budget to implement. Put it forward as a special election. And when we approved the current capital fee, this board, under Jason's leadership, who really, really pushed us to get out and talk to commercial members and to the community about why this was important, we really didn't do that much. Part of me is very pleased we got 74.77%. Given the fact that other than the Finance Committee's president writing a letter in the Village Mill, we didn't do a lot of pressing of commercial members to say, we think this is important for the good of the community and will benefit you in the long run because we will be a healthier community.
And because this is not charged to commercial members.
Exactly right. Exactly right. This is a residential fee only.
Well, let's also, to be clear, it doesn't affect current members, right? As I understand,
that's correct.
They were exempted from, it's not a fee charged to a
right. This is for individuals buying into Brandon Mill who are currently not Brandon Mill residents buying another home in Brandon Mill.
So if I were to buy, let's say, a house on the water,
you wouldn't have to pay, you'd be exempt.
Right.
Just someone new coming in.
I think
I'd like us to think about doing it in the fall, running an election for it in the fall. And then maybe each director take a list like we did before and divide up the commercial members and start calling.
How much does election cost?
Well, we get a
postage.
It's postage. Mm. And we can run the ballots in house, and then it's postage. And Judy, on the bulk rate, what are we paying per envelope?
41. 40. No.
Like free.
The flat.
No, it wouldn't have to be a flat.
It would not have to be a flat.
No, we could.
41.
41 cents.
And so 44.
4,000 pieces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like $4,000 or $5,000 mm-hmm. the time you get done with paper and ballots and anything else. If we wait until the fall, does that put us behind for the...
It's going to be difficult because if you have to approve the budget by November at the latest because of it being the 30-day requirement in the village mill.
Do we have anything going out that we know of that it could be incorporated with?
No. You'd have to do it by itself as a separate election.
We did it by itself before, right?
Yes.
Isn't that the way we did it?
In fact, when it was passed, the $150, it failed also when it was done during the annual election, mm-hmm. and then you did a special election for it again in the fall, and it passed the second time around. But I think for two things, it was by itself. People recognized that it was one item on a ballot, and I think because there was so much buy-in from the board to contact commercial members and explain to them that it would benefit them, that it cost them nothing. Mm-hmm. I would suggest you do it before the fall so you know what to do it during the budgeting process if it would actually impact what projects may be able to be approved.
Before we push on with this, could I just get a director opinion from each of you before we drive on a little bit beyond this? I haven't heard from everybody yet.
I think we should do it maybe July or August before the fall.
What timing do we have to get it in for the budget proceedings? June, July?
June would probably be better because probably this board will, at some point in late June or early July, do its planning meeting to give direction. Staff is already beginning early stages of budget development as we get into June. We certainly will be discussing the budget in August and September that reasonably looks like the budget, so the earlier we know, the better. If we did it and got approval, then we'd be able to implement it for January 1 and have those funds available for the 2012 budget.
No problem. I would support it.
Francis?
Yeah, I would support it.
The thing here is... I think, Keith, you'll remember when we had our communications meeting, I was a little concerned that we weren't... It just seemed a little boilerplate to me, but the verbiage we were using, the way it was presented, seemed a little...
This is the exact language we used last time when it passed, originally.
I know. And it only failed by 0.33%. It was tough to figure out whether that's commercial representation.
What did you estimate? If another... How many people had voted for it?
10
more people had voted for it, we would have made it.
What was the representation in the community? I mean, as far as overall voting, was it a small percentage of the community voting this year, or was it high?
We made quorum. It was about 28%, maybe, which is typical.
Yeah, there's about 3,000 votes. I think there's 14,000 available in commercial and residential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think whatever we do, we should probably look at the rewording to make it extremely simple. And I think at the beginning where we talk about what the funds are going to be used for if a yes vote is given,
maybe we switch that around and immediately throw out there as far as the cost implications for the current residents. And just right up in the first sentence, you know, this will be charged to new home buyers into the community. You know,
is there a way that we could also? I don't know, Wendy, you're here, and I know you did a really fine job in the Village Mill when we did the first communication business. But you know, I would like to avoid. You know, we're talking about these wonderful master plan items. We are undertaking some of those this year in a 0% increase year. We want to have some of the things the community wants, and I've heard people talk about entranceways and other things. If you want those things, if we don't get this approved, the only other option we have would be an increase in assessments or even a special assessment to have some of these things. So, you know, this is not, don't take that as a threat. Please don't. But we have to build those capital improvement fees back up once we start building.
Well, it's not, you know, we're not talking about huge sums either.
I was going to say, how much even money are we talking about?
Well, I think we budget $22,000 a year for revenue from this one item. So even if you double the fee in year one, that's only an additional $22,000.
Right.
Which is just over
1%. Which is nothing. That's not even half of an entrance sum.
So, I mean, our master plan doesn't rise and fall on whether this referendum passes this year.
But it does give us wiggle room. And the other factor is that because of the economic times we're in and our work on the budget the last couple of years, we have no wiggle room in the current budget. I mean, that budget is so tight, it's scary. And there is no, we can't take $5,000 here to move over there. We just don't have that wiggle room. The budget is just too tight. So this is the money we've got. And Jason's point is correct that maybe it is $40,000, maybe it's $45,000 if we don't. I think at a maximum we were looking at about $80,000 to $100,000 if we went to the value of the full assessment.
Well, even when we were selling tons of houses, we were only transferring $300 a year.
Right. But it's still money we get to do a lot with. I mean, one of the things you learn at the Finance Committee is we spend every dollar three times over. And so we're very creative. And we mix and match. We use some money that we can, you know, that was for maintenance to match with money was capital money to maximize the end product. The landing renovation is a great example of that. The T-Racks got paid for out of reserve money in maintenance while we were doing the other improvements out of the capital. So that's what we want. So I was going to suggest, Mr. President, that the ballot go out certainly with a cover letter that really clarifies the kind of thing that Director McGinnis was saying. Here's why we think it's important. And also enlist those in the community who think it is important to stand up and speak on behalf of it. And then thirdly, to identify some commercial members that we as board members need to approach and say, we need your support on this, and let's go knock on their doors.
Or else we're going to have to raise your general assessment.
Right. Yeah. Well point. Well taken.
Definitely simple bullet points.
Oh, I'd make it simple. Simple.
You know,
I think a lot of people didn't understand it. I mean, even came to the meeting twice, explained it.
Everybody's busy. I get this. If it doesn't have Pfizer on it or something else on it,
probably
not reading it.
And the actual referendum.
Yeah, what's that? Before I was on the board.
Yeah, the referendum was written by the attorney, but there's no reason why we can't do bullet points as far as selling it to the community so they understand exactly what the referendum says.
Okay, so we have.
Right. Simple.
We basically have next meeting
to approve the ballot.
To approve the ballot.
Well, can Jane come up with a ballot? I mean, bullet point in the ballot there, a cover letter to go back out with it, so that.
And Jane, I would suggest that the chair of the Finance Committee would be happy to perhaps support this with a letter from him as chair or the finance prior to the election. The Finance Committee actually asked that he write a letter on behalf of the Finance Committee supporting this because they believe in this. So that may be a separate approach, but if he can be a part of a support letter from the board and the Finance Committee, that would be, I'm sure, available.
Give me an idea of the rules on the election process. I mean, is it only 30 days?
No, it's a minimum of 30 days.
Minimum of 30. Mm-hmm.
So we could, if we sent it out, say, mid-June, we could say that the election would be late July, maybe, as long as we had at least 30 days' notice.
And then we could have a strategic meeting after that?
Mm-hmm. Strategic meeting's in July.
Well, start at the end. Mm-hmm. Or we have the meeting, you have to approve.
Well, if you did something mid-June, you could go to mid-July for 30 days, right. And then you would be...
Yeah. I mean, we could send it out that it's right at 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the faster the turnaround, the better. I mean, the people who are going to let it languish aren't going to probably return it.
Okay.
So I'll have the ballot and the bullet pointed.
Should we take this as an official motion so that we're on record to do this as board direction?
Okay. Let's do that.
So move that the board hold a special election on the... a referendum related to the capital improvement fee based on language that is in the referendum that was held in the 2011 annual meeting ballot, and that this election occur no later than July 15th, 2011.
Can I get a motion to approve that?
I second.
Oh, he was originating the motion.
Yeah.
Didn't he make the motion?
I made the motion.
Oh, you made the motion.
Okay.
She's second.
I'll catch up, Joyce.
So are we, is this a motion to hold the election, or is this a motion to direct staff to draft the ballot?
This is a motion to hold the election.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any comments on the motion to hold the election?
The referendum.
Referendum. Thank you.
Well, no, he said election. I just didn't want to keep going.
All right, there being no further comments... All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay. Anybody opposed? All right, moving on. Signage for roundabout.
Okay. That's a beautiful scene.
We have in our board packets the proposed, I have that right? Plans for roundabout signage.
Well, I'll ask
the current, I have one plan, one conceptual plan in here. We have two signs in the roundabout itself. Do you have any further information on that?
Yes.
Jane?
I include the information on my manager's report in regard to this, but I had met with John McCracken and a gentleman from Timmins and a gentleman from VDOT. And, basically, VDOT pretty much controls what's going in this roundabout and a lot of where it's going. And their recommendation is that instead of putting a large sign in the middle of the roundabout, because their intention is to let the shrubbery grow large, because they don't want you looking across the roundabout at one another. They want you watching the traffic coming around the roundabout. So eventually, the landscaping in the center would overgrow this sign. So their recommendation was that we put one on either side of Old Hundred Road. And the gentleman from Brooks Gray was at this meeting. He came up with this diagram for the signage. It has the new waterfront logo on it. I asked him if he didn't think it would be a good idea if we built the bottom brick wall up a little bit, because we've had so much trouble with the sign down at Market Square where people turn the corner and the next thing you know they hit that sign and it ruins the sign. Where this way, if they jump the curb, they're going to hit the brick wall.
That's so anyhow, a good idea.
The sign might last a little bit longer. Anyhow, so he did accommodate us on that. And then, of course, you have this drawing which shows the roundabout. I will tell you that this is 100 foot across. And the existing sign at Market Square, because it's a directional sign, VDOT will not allow, because if you're reading and going around mm-hmm. the roundabout, you're not paying attention to traffic. So that was out. So this sign, or this area, is 100 feet across, and the gentleman from Brooks Gray said that even if we were able to use that sign, it wouldn't be large enough. It's just too small to make any type of impact.
there again, why he devised us a sign that would look better on both sides of Old Hundred Road. Mm. And then conceptually, coming up Old Hundred Road, the black and white is how it would look someday with the landscaping in and all. Now this project is due to start June 20th when school is out. The signage and the landscaping will not be done until the fall because of the planting season and things like that. But the roundabout construction is going to start when school is out. They're waiting for the board here to basically say, go ahead with this, and then they're going to proceed sending this out for bid because they need to get three bids in order to do the work.
And we have to pay for the sign, right?
We're paying for the sign.
Both of them.
Will it be finished when school resumes?
The roundabout itself will be, but maybe not the landscaping or the signage in the middle of the roundabout.
The black and white one, is it supposed to be representative of this drawing?
Yes.
Okay, because it didn't appear as if, you know, you were saying these shrubbery are going to get large and big.
Well, see the tree behind the sign?
I see that one, mm-hmm. but it looks like there's like, you know, there's 12 of them or something.
No, and it's really close down at the bottom, Francis. Mm-hmm. If you really look close, you can see that part of this down in here is actually the stone on the sign.
Yes, I see that.
Not the flowers.
Yes.
So the signs will actually still be in the roundabout.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But not in the center of the roundabout.
Correct.
Okay.
When we went to the meeting at Swift Creek Middle School when the county had their community meeting on this, we did a Hail Mary with the VDOT people to say, because they were talking, and we said, well, let us move. We asked them, is our sign going to have to be moved? And the answer was, well, yes. And so we did the Hail Mary and said,
put it in the middle.
Let's put it in the middle, you know.
And they said,
this is a remarkable opportunity for us. I mean, I went out there today and looked again. Visually, this will be a very dramatic entrance to our community. Mm-hmm. I mean, we will not see this opportunity again to market this community.
I know when I asked VDOT at that meeting, the lady told me, absolutely, VDOT does not allow neighborhood signs in the roundabout. So this is
And we told her that we weren't a neighborhood, we were the center of the universe, but she didn't buy that.
She said Ashland.
And I will say, I think we need to give John McCracken credit.
Yes.
At the county, because when he called me a couple weeks ago, I said I've had some board discussions and they would like to see the sign in the middle of the roundabout. And at that point he said, are you willing to meet with VDOT and with Timmons? I said yes. And they came in, and I will say the gentleman from VDOT was very adamant that there was not going to be a reader board sign in that roundabout, but he did come back and say, okay, that they would look at putting the signs in,
right.
Or us putting the signs in.
Sounds
great. I had a couple minor questions, but I want to ask now. First, will there be lights on these signs?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So then planners are aware to put the electric in now?
Yes.
And will we be paying for that?
We'll be paying for the irrigation bills, and we'll have to maintain the electric. We're not paying for any of the installation.
Okay.
I'm not sure, Jason, where they're going to tie that electric into. Mm-hmm. If it's off of a pole light, no, because we don't pay for those. They're owned by Virginia Power.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be where I would suppose that they would have to connect to, and we don't pay for that. But we have agreed, in theory right now, to take care of the irrigation, make sure it's running, pay for the water, and maintain the shrubbery once it's planted.
Okay, so that's two more questions. So we are going to have irrigation. That will be our responsibility, and we will be responsible for maintenance
of the area.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But we're not paying for any installation of anything. They're going to pay for all of that.
Okay. Well, and the last thing, I guess, for the board is, I mean, as nice as this is, do you think we could do better? Bigger? I mean, when you look at the pylon that is the Woodlake sign, I mean, that's... Anyway, I mean, like I said, this is
that's
a tremendous improvement.
Yeah.
But is, you know, if we're going to make this the nicest, most prominent entrance, at least so far, is this as nice as we want to go?
Any other board comments on that question?
Yeah, take a gold topper off.
Well, no. I like the gold topper.
he made?
You mean as far as the sign or the size? Yes. I think the roundabout, we don't
have. We put a single bigger sign in the middle that's maybe four-sided.
I think that...
You know, instead of two single ones, but put a taller one if visual obstruction is not a concern for VDOT.
Like a square or something.
A square. I mean, the same thing or something similar, but four-sided and taller. Mm-hmm. With more lights.
Like a pylon.
You know, yeah, make it the biggest sign for the biggest neighborhood in the Central Virginia.
Huh. Interesting.
Jenny, just a question. What's the estimate on the cost of these two signs as proposed?
He did not give me that. This is just a proposal to come to the board to see if this was what you were looking for. So I could get that. I could also go back and ask for...
Sequentially, I'd like to say, let's get that. Secondly, could you have two conversations, one with the design folks and John about what would be possible in terms of significant design, four-sided or whatever. And then the question with John, do you think we can sell it? Do you think they'll go for it?
Did VDOT have, other than you're not allowed to have signs in the middle of the thing, did they place it, because somehow you two managed to do the Hail Marys, you say. Did they place restrictions? Because this is an opportunity to build a grand entrance without a dime of brandable money. In theory.
You don't get anything you don't ask for.
Right. Mm. No, I like it. I like Jason's idea.
Yeah. Let's make it. Check it. Other than the fact that they have a landscape plan that they're going to probably submit, I don't know why that couldn't be changed. But
yeah, I add one other thing is that if the answer to the first two questions is they're not going to go for it or a new sign's going to cost us $50,000 and that may be more than we want to spend. It may not be, but it may be more than we want to spend. Then, because time is of the essence, it would be good if the board would give direction that that at a minimum, we move in this direction. What we'd really like to do is something more dramatic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But here's my thinking. I throw it out for the whole board to pounce on, if you will, but this is a large community. We're not using our money here. We've got an idea for a grand entrance. If we go with this roundabout, and everybody knows the controversy surrounding them, the county and the state need us in their pocket, especially the county. County Department of Transportation need us in their pocket here. I think we have a little bit more flexibility, if you will, as far as what we can do than, say, a smaller community.
I agree with Jason. Let's go for it. Let's ask for it. But I want to have some sensitivity of, I don't want this one slapped down, so I want to do the politically savvy work of saying, let's see how this is going to play.
Well, I think we're all agreed there.
I can certainly pose a question to John McCracken.
Yeah.
And if he says, well, we can see, then I think we can ask the question.
But I would like this board to be able to say to you, when you have that conversation, that John comes back and says, you're lucky to get what you got, then the response is, the board wants at least this. We prefer something more dramatic.
Mm-hmm. Is that how we wish to direct the community manager?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
Jane, one thing I noticed that the county is doing the landscaping around the four corners, the current one. Are they going to have, and this is more details probably than we need to go over, but I just want to make sure that if this is going to be a grand entrance, that we have some control or, not control, but some agreement that we're going to either do the landscaping ourselves or they're going to do it? Or
The only corner that would be Brandermill would be over on this side because... This is
so that's why the county was doing this.
This is a school, and the other two would be this would be the high school over here, and then this church owns that property. I would think that they're going to do something with the other corners. Now, I don't know what.
Yeah. I just don't want it to.
Right. I mean, the way they left it with the turning lane is not great.
This is a point, too. The county is putting down fertilizer on the corner. Maybe we could think about doing some of that.
Jane, one other point too, because
give direction.
The sign that's currently there will be have to be moved regardless, right?
Yes.
Is there a chance for us internally to look at, since it is one of our REIT award signs, is to readjust that location at some other point so we still have the ability to communicate with residents who use that?
When the sign company pulls that sign, and they're going to probably pull it the week before June the 20th, they're going to take it back to the shop. It's going to be touched up and painted and things like that. Boris from VDOT was adamant that it cannot go in one of their right-of-ways, that they won't allow that. So we are going to have to determine where we can put it. And we might be able to put it, if we just move it back to the next island down at the middle school there, it might be able to be in a location close to where it is now, which would still benefit.
We have one other entrance, and I can't remember. That's an opportunity for us to hit a main thoroughfare, though. What about at the Genito Road entrances? How does the board feel about that?
Genito and
Branwell Parkway.
Branwell Parkway. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have to see which ones are available, and then we can decide from the options.
Right. And that we can place tonight. Anytime.
I mean, that's probably our most frequented intersection. Right. Residents is probably at Genito Road.
Without a Brandemill sign.
That's a good suggestion. All right, any other comments on the roundabout?
Oh, this is exciting. Boy, I didn't think we were going to.
Yeah, I'm just glad we stood our ground, because, you know, there was one pivotal point there where we were going to say, they're telling us a stoplight, there's some other way, and this board stood its ground and paid off.
It was the other way around. They weren't saying stoplight. They still aren't saying stoplight. Okay, next item on the agenda is VDOT road repairs. In your board packet, we have a Director Livingston taken away. It's a copy. You know, for the group, though.
This was Francis. Francis drafted this.
I will say, in April, early April, Virginia Department of Transportation put a new chip and seal, the new asphalt process, chip and seal, at the entrance of Hunt Gate Woods, mainly Hunt Gate Woods and Branwell Parkway. Chip and seal is very different from asphalt in that it's basically throw down a much thinner tar-like substance and cover it with loose gravel. And over time, the pressure of cars traveling over the chip and seal grinds it in, and you get a part of your road surface. VDOT comes through with sweep machines and sweeps the loose gravel off the side of the road. Of course, the concerns have been raised by this board that is not in keeping with everything else the board is trying to do and the community is trying to do as far as upgrading the look of the community. But VDOT has made it abundantly clear to every community in secondary road, or every home lives on a secondary road in Virginia, that this is a budgetary decision that it's making. In fact, the section of road in front of Sunday's church was the last asphalt process they used on a secondary road in our area. And from now on, the way road repairs will look will be the way that it is in front of Hunt Gate Woods and on Randall Parkway. The board raised concern. We had gotten into some discussion regarding contacting and addressing this issue at a legislative level, and what you have before you is a letter describing our concerns. So, Francis, having said all that, I said that for the benefit for the members here tonight, but having said all that, it's your issue. Please take it away.
Well, I talked with several of the delegate Ware and also to Senator Watkins about the possibility of having a breakfast. I understood that we wanted to kind of do it like we did at the county meetings and have a breakfast meeting with him and some of the VDOT representatives, also Art Warren, and perhaps maybe John McCracken, to talk about what they're doing in the roads. I understand their position, but I also feel that we need to make our position very clear in that we don't like this substance that's going down. I don't know what they can do. It's kind of like the county, you know. You don't know until all of a sudden they do something for you. So maybe if we ask them, and maybe there's another solution. I don't know. I don't know. You know, they're giving us, this is their pat answer. This is what they do. But as most things, sometimes there are other things that can be done. Or maybe they could come back and top coat that with some small thin layer of asphalt, okay? You know, not the normal 4 inches, but maybe an inch or 2 inches that would at least make it look a little better for a planned community. And I guess that's my point. And I felt very strongly about it, so which is why I took the initiative to try and see what could be done, at least to set up an initial meeting so that we could communicate with them and talk with them and find out if there are choices and what maybe are the other choices. If there is no choice, you know, I don't know how many years it took them to do this. So, you know, what if we're the last ones on the list right now? Because, you know, VDOT very well could have money in another year or 2 years at the most, given the state of our economy, and it is picking up. And therefore, if they go and do this to our roads now, our roads won't need repair for 5-10 years, and we're going to miss that boat. Whereas if we can at least get them to delay what's being done now, when they get money in, say, 2 years, then they can start doing, you know, asphalt back on the secondary roads, and we'll be there to be able to take advantage of that. So I guess I just wanted to have a conversation, as was my intent, with them to see what our options were and maybe how we felt, or I felt anyway, about what I'd like to see done with our community, because I believe it affects our community. I think when people come in here to buy homes and they ride on that road, if you haven't ridden on it, you need to ride on it. It does not, it's like being on a country road. And that is not, I don't think, what we want for our community. And I understand their hands, you know, they don't have any money. I mean, we don't have any either, but sometimes we have creative ways of finding funds.
So. I just wanted to acknowledge the work that Friends has done on this and Jason's worked on working with the letter. My only point would be is that I think we need some allies, and as I would envision this, that this breakfast meeting would include other large community associations that have a vested interest, including Woodlake and you know, upscale communities like Hampton Park and Charter Colony, because they're all going to be impacted and have to face this as well. And if we're sitting with the electeds and we have representatives there that are in the, representing thousands of residents, then it carries a little more weight than just one community, even though we're the largest. So I would simply suggest that we proceed with doing something like this, but that we expand it to include inviting, prepping and inviting some of our sister communities so that we speak with a large voice.
I did have another line. I took it out, so the letter, but I did have a line that put that in there, so it could be.
Any other director comments?
If it's a meeting with just Delegate Ware, I would say we're probably big enough to do it on our own. The only concern I have, we're thinking that these other communities are like-minded. They may not be. And we get to the breakfast meeting and all of a sudden we're throwing out 10, 15 ideas and it's not focused and it's not very detailed, you know, explanation of what we want, what we'd like to see. So if it's Delegate Ware, we represent over a quarter of his constituency. I think we're probably big enough to go on our own.
If I think we represent all. Well, yeah.
It is, yeah, not, he has all of 27% of his district, so it's significant. With Senator Watkins, we're like 6 or 7%, so yeah, we need some.
I think part of this is being, I agree with you, Keith, and I think some of this is the prep work, so that we're talking, and this is going to fall back on Jane to have those conversations with community managers so that people come in and focus. But part of this is being able to work in tandem with the county, because I think one of the reasons I suggested it ought to be included is that from the county's perspective, you want your major subdivisions to look really good. You want to attract homeowners to Chesterfield County. And we don't want to lose them to Henrico County or Hanover or the other counties. And so the county might benefit from having some allies. You know, if we speak up and say, this is not acceptable, we understand your financial situation. We're not slapping you on the wrist for that. But the electeds need to help you, VDOT, by finding ways to come up with the funds. And then the county can step in and say, yes, from a planning perspective and from a revitalization perspective, we support where Brandon Mill and Wood Lake and Charter Colony, et cetera, are coming from.
I will say, I think we have some chip seal roads in Brandon Mill already. I mean, not just Brandon Mill Parkway. We have them all through Brandon Mill. They're not all asphalt roads as they stand now. I know North Beach Road is chip sealed. I know a lot of the, I think, Sandy Ridge. I think that one's chip sealed. A lot of the off roads are all through Nut Tree. So we need to be careful. I'd like for us to find out more about chip seal versus asphalt. I mean, and John McCracken would be a great resource. But we need to know. I mean, we know the state said they're only going to do chip seal because it's less costly. But how long does it last? What, 5 years longer? Or, I mean, what are some facts about it? And the other thing, Jane and I have been down to the General Assembly for the last 3 years. And if you start talking about Ware and Watkins, they make laws. Unless we want to make a law that says you can't put chip seal in Brandon Mill, I don't think it's even a Chesterfield subject. I think we need more than just like Woodlake. We need to look at some of the other CAIs. We need to look at Henrico County. According to the state, they're doing this all through the state. It's like when they closed all of the rest stops on the interstates. A lot of people got upset. But it took an executive order, even though people went to their representatives, because they make law. They don't. It's not like a board that controls VDOT. They don't control VDOT. So if we're going to do something like this, I think we need a much broader base, and we need not just Chesterfield County, but we need broader counties who actually represent a good number of the populace, because this is a state of Virginia thing, not a Chesterfield County.
Well, then, this does not sound like a good use of our resources.
Well, hang on a minute.
Now, we're talking about mobilizing a state effort to cure the state budget shortfall to correct thousands of miles of state roads all over the state.
That's what
I think you die almost immediately in that conversation.
And because no one else thought of this, and everybody.
I do think, though, before we go down that road, Jason, because there is something to be said for a voice, there is. And if you get enough voices, you may not have to go to the law side. You may get VDOT to come off its... Because Francis raises a good point. The budgets are starting to loosen up, and down the road, if we make enough noise, they may say, all right, this chip seal process, is not going to work because these communities, especially a community like ours... which is an older community that's relying on, a cleaner-looking roadway for what we're attempting to do. They may say, well, this is not the direction we want to go, and in a year and a half or whatever it is, we're going to go back to the asphalt process. Maybe we take an idea that Francis has already said, and let's stall or just delay implementation of any future chip seal or just to limit areas until, we go the path of asphalt into roadways. I don't know. I do agree with Joyce in the sense that we need to research the issue a little bit better than just firing off a letter. The letter itself, I don't have a single problem with it. That's the direction the board wishes to take. I mean, I think it's well-written, and I don't have any concerns about that. But, I want to make sure that, we go in the right direction. I don't think you need to make a law to do this. I do think we need to have it. If we're going to go this road, we've got to get communities organized and go that way. I'm just a little concerned, Francis, that we're out ahead of this thing right now, and we're not really, in my opinion, prepared to...
Well, it was actually, I just felt like we just needed to sit down and talk.
Yeah.
Across the table, talk to these people. I'm not into, a whole lot of other stuff other than let's understand. They don't understand what we've been going through. We are nothing in them to, we need to let them know what our concerns are, from this. And, not just a letter. Because I believe a letter can just get filed away. But, when you sit across the table from them and you just have a conversation with them, I think they have a better understanding. They'll leave with a different sense for our community. They'll leave with a different sense of...
Joyce's point, though, is that where the leverage is best placed?
Well, you know, you're going to have the two VDOT, the head honchos at VDOT there.
Yeah.
You'll have Delegate Ware, Senator Watkins. I think it was Ware, isn't he on the Finance Committee of the state? Which is, you know, if we're talking about money, then, you know, again, you know, these people are just like our board of directors here. They represent the state, but they know what's going on with the finances. They do have to make laws. They do know where the concerns are for the state, as we do for our community. So
I think it's as simple as this. I think you've got a letter to have an informal conversation with two of our state leaders. Yes, mm-hmm. They're writing laws. They're not back in session until January. We want just something, some consideration right mm-hmm. now as Brandermill. If that turns out to be, hey, you know what, Mr. VDOT guy, you've got 20% of asphalt you can do. Maybe you throw a little extra in Brandermill. Believe it or not, sometimes things like that get done.
Yep.
If we can do it, that's great. I don't care if they're putting chip and seal in Woodlake. I could care less, to be quite honest
right.
with you.
Exactly.
And if we can get them to put more asphalt in
here, that's what we want.
And put chip and seal everywhere else,
yeah.
We're successful in what we're doing, because that's our main concern.
Well, you get it
so
if you
I like
ask.
Going with an informal conversation, which is, I think, what this request is. I do agree with Joyce. I think we've got to make sure that when we go to that breakfast, we've got some facts down.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I see here is, and I love this angle, hey, we turned some roads over to you.
Yep.
We expect those standards. What I would like to confirm, though, is that 25 or 30 years ago, we didn't turn over chipped and sealed roads to them.
We've got chipped and sealed. I mean, there's no question.
But I mean, 30
the developer
years ago,
didn't turn over chip and seal roads.
State system, or they chip and seal, because that would
no. The developers
they never
have to
know
turn
that,
over.
Or may yeah. never be able to find that out. Mm. But if we know it, we probably need to stop that angle. But I think these are just informal conversations, informal breakfast. Mm-hmm. Let's
if we're going to go that route, do we? I feel like we bypassed our district supervisor though. Also here.
Well, he's going to be at the breakfast.
Yeah, Art. Yeah.
We made sure Art.
Yeah, Art and John McCracken.
Have all those people to breakfast.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we making a phone call to him, or are we sending him a letter?
Well, I sent him an email, and I mean, he said he would come. Now, you know, I talked to Delegate Ware and talked to Senator Watkins. I need to send a confirming email, or somebody needs to. You know, I'd be glad to tell them that Jane will get a hold of them and set this up. I didn't know where.
Send a letter to all of them.
Huh?
I think you should send a letter to all of them and yes. copy them all on the box that you're sending a letter to.
Yeah, I think at this point the letter goes to the community manager and let the community manager do the mechanics of setting it up.
Good suggestion.
I do have a question for maybe follow up for Jane. The surface on Brandermill Parkway from Geneto towards this direction, there's a large stretch of it that looks like is now chip and seal, and there has not been for some weeks. The line markings are gone, and there's been no signage.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, from a safety perspective, they're supposed to, because when they repaved.
From like going towards my section?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, they were out there again today, sweeping it off.
But they're supposed to,
but
we're talking
not.
Weeks now, that they have not had signage up that says unmarked lane ahead.
Oh, I know.
And I don't think that's kosher.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe what we might want to think about stressing, it seems like most of the problems were they didn't sweep it in time, they didn't press it, or whatever they did. Fast enough, they didn't mark it fast enough. I don't know. Maybe our concern should be more oriented towards getting it done right when they do it. Do our residents really want us to forego getting roads repaired?
Why is it only being patched in certain areas?
Well, right.
It looks crappy too.
Yeah, it looks crappy. I mean,
some of it is very superficial. This whole argument,
right? when you ride on it, that you can hear it in your car, you know, and you
North
can.
North Beach Road, it's been chip seal on the bottom, and then they repaired it with asphalt. It's one of the worst roads in Brandermill. It's one of the worst roads in Brandermill. It's not the chip seal that's bad.
We asked them
months
ago.
It's the asphalt that's bad.
We asked them months ago to go to North Beach. And
yeah. So all I'm saying is if we have a table full of state delegates and county delegates and all we're saying is we don't like it,
That's not a good use of our capital.
We do have to research the issue.
We need to find out what their plan is. You know, what is their next road in Brandermill then, if the least? And are those roads that we feel
we
need
should
to be
there?
Well,
I think we should figure out which process. I do think, to Joyce's point, we got to find out what are the shortfalls of this process. How does it work? When do they replace it? You know, what's its life? Those are valid arguments. There are valid things to research to figure out. So you're not going into a room saying, I don't like it because I don't think it looks nice. Although I agree with that point of view, you know, we can't come off looking like a bunch of bumpkins if we go with our delegate. You know, we've got to have our stuff together when we have these conversations because we're basically going to ask them to pressure VDOT, if that's the direction we're headed, to put asphalt down over the chip seal process, which VDOT wants to do because it wants to save money. I think that's a valid angle to pursue. You know, if that's not what the will of the board is, then so be it. But I think that's a valid, you know, at least have the facts straight when you go in there.
We got anything else we want to ask these guys? I mean, could we make it not just about chip seal?
I want to
make it about something else. I mean,
I don't think this is ready to go to our elected representatives. We don't know what we want. We don't know what they can do. Most importantly, we're not even sure what we're asking them. And if what we're asking them we know is not realistic, why make the ask?
We haven't asked them for anything else. That's the only thing I would say. If it, I mean, this is the only thing in my 2 and some years on the board that we've even asked for. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's more of an informal conversation. I think somehow we've got to get the message to them. I don't think it's bad to ask them.
We think that Brandermill should have better roads.
To Lee Ware, yeah. We should have better roads in his district than any other district in the state.
Yeah. And none of those delegates from North Virginia have anything to say about it.
Don't let those Northern Virginia delegates Buffalo, we want the best roads here.
I appreciate that. And
everybody
have
does it.
But, you know, John will tell you, and he's always said, you want to use and spend your political capital wisely. And to ask people who don't have direct control over the resources for something they can't provide and probably would provide if they had the resources, but they're just not the right people to ask and couldn't give it to you even if they were. So why then make the ask?
I don't know how many of you remember, but last year we asked Steve Martin to help us get money for the hydrilla, and he was all for it. He came out and looked at it. He looked at different monies that he had in different areas to see if he could target any money for the hydrilla. And it wasn't even just going to be for Brandermill. He was going to do the hydrilla here and in other parts of, I mean, that's the way he was going to promote it. But when he brought it forward to a couple of people, it was no. And so, I mean, they make laws. They don't control VDOT. And
they make the budget.
A budget.
Yes.
But
the
budget. But if we come into a room and want to have a breakfast meeting, we've got to have some things to talk about other than we just don't like this process.
Well, we're making this much more complicated than I had ever dreamed of. It was an idea of going to our delegates.
Right. If y'all want to ditch it, that's fine.
That's fine.
I am fine with it.
Yeah, as a private resident,
I could care less now.
We can go contact our delegates as private residents and say we don't like chip sealing, but I guess it's evident the board doesn't want to take a position.
You're right.
That
right.
Our
just
state
let it go.
On
I'm
chip
go.
So far, I've heard three board members on the opposite point of view of that. I'm not certain why you two are digging in right now. There are three of us that said it, and I haven't heard from all the board members yet.
You three of us that said what? I'm not digging in. I'm saying that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't want to do it, that's fine. It's fine with me.
Right.
What's really being suggested is that we don't just say, and this is what Joyce is talking about, sum it up. Joyce is saying, if you're going to get these heavyweights in the room, let's not just talk about the one topic. And she's saying, if you're going to talk about that topic, let's get educated on the topic, okay? And I think those are reasonable things to suggest. Jason's saying, you know, if we're going to pick this one topic, and to get a legislator who doesn't have control over this agency to do something, you know, it's probably not the battle. It's not how we want to expend our capital, political capital. Now, I know you and Francis' position. You know, we have enough folks that want to weigh in here.
Well, you know, all of these people network. They all know people. They all talk. So, I mean, you know, I think it was a good idea. Like he said, it's gotten way complicated. It's just...
Perhaps we staff could come back to the next meeting with a explanation of chip seal versus asphalt, the length that it may last, and just get more information from the board, and then maybe the board would feel better about what they want to discuss or if this is the action they want to take by sending a letter.
Well, I would be interested in following up with the discussion of meeting with our state representatives, like we do with the county representatives, on issues that we are concerned about. This might be one. There should be others. I think having sifted through everything we've talked about, that does seem to be, I kind of go, the aha moment. That we've talked often about that one of the responsibilities of this board is to use our political capital and, you know, our and develop political capital by being a player. So I think if we could identify some additional issues, because we don't have to do this next week, we don't have to do it in the next 6 weeks, we could do it at some point in the future. If we could identify some other issues that come through the community associations, institute, things they're concerned about, as well as some things that we're concerned about that impacts state legislation and the informal decision making or direction that goes on among state legislators, because there is that does happen, then I think that's fulfilling what we do. We only do that once a year with the county folks who meet quarterly. But I think that's a format that might be more helpful.
Okay, here's what I'm hearing. Well, first, I'll just add my final comments. I'm not going to let this die. I mean, I've been on record for the community in several meetings in the past. VDOT has given us short shrift many times in the past. And we've actually fired off letters. I had Art intervene on our behalf to get projects done for us. Case in point is in front of, you know, on Millridge property in front of the Branimal Church. So hear what everybody's saying. None of us really like it, but before we go off and do this, we've got to get prepared to do it. Now, there are a number of ways we can tackle it. I think where the board is not on the same page is how to do it. So I agree with Dick. Let's get staff to come back at us and also make a recommendation on the mechanics as far as who we communicate with and when and how we do it. Let's keep in mind that we have a quarterly breakfast meeting coming up in June. At the very least, we'll address it there. Anything else on this wonderful topic? Sounds good. Okay. Year enough. Oh, yeah, one more thing. Docs. I'm glad to see them represented on the agenda as docs and not erosion control devices. One of the things I'm trying to do is just introduce a topic to new members that may not have been attending one of our meetings before. Basically, what this is at some point in this year, the county asked us to weigh in or come up with some method of policing. I don't use that word policing. Come up with a standard for the look of a dock and enforcing an application process for docks on the Brandemill Shore side of the reservoir. Some concerns came up about the I don't want to say for legality either, but just whether where we own property, where the docks are in relation to property, what the current process is, There's a lot of unanswered questions in regards to that, and that's on the sand of the man right now. I'll open it to Jane.
Well,
to refresh the board on this particular point.
When Joyce and I talked about a week or so ago about the agenda, she had indicated that she'd like to see the docs on this agenda so at least the board could have an update, because I think the last we had talked, we were at the, I think it was at one of the breakfast meetings too, the county had indicated that they would be willing to get us maps showing the 180 and 185 foot contour line. So basically this is to tell you that the county did do that, and they actually provided them to us free of charge, and they brought them to us. And in turn, we have given them to Teresa Biagioli, who does the shoreline inspections, and asked her if she could try to determine where the dock is in relationship to the 180-foot contour line. Now, I think one of the most surprising things is that on the map, the 180-foot contour line, in some instances, goes right through the middle of people's properties. In some areas, it runs along the shoreline, but it was the map itself was very interesting to look at. So we have not heard back from her. I'm not sure how comfortable she feels, because there's no house on this lot or anything else. It's just the lot with the contour line on it. So she's taken some time to study it, and we don't have anything. We've really asked her to look at the ones where we know there are already docks built. And so we don't have any further information as to what she's been able to determine after having received the maps.
When are we expecting an answer or feedback or whatever?
From Teresa?
Mm-hmm.
We touched base with her this week, and like I said, she's had some confusion. She's had some difficulty figuring out where the docks are on the map, because of the way the 180-foot contour runs. Al and I had talked about meeting with her again so we can, all three of us can get more on board and maybe possibly get some help from her or give her some help. So I would think we'd have something to report at the next meeting.
Next one,
at least.
Okay.
What are the expected decisions to be made when she's done with her analysis?
I think you're going to have to decide whether you're going to allow docks in Brandon or not.
For example, if there's one dock that's on our property and another dock that's outside of our property, what will the board be asked to do at that point?
Are you going to allow docks or aren't you?
The question
on Brandon space.
On Brandon property. And then I think the other question would be, are you going to have a standard for a dock? Or do you want any kind of dock built along the shoreline? Because East-West only approved a dock similar to Wood Lakes, whether it's on our property, Brandon Wells, or if it's on their property.
And I think we spoke the last time. I'm sorry, Joyce.
If it's on our property, though, it really isn't a board decision, right? I mean, the community would have to vote for it, won't they? Isn't that a community?
We made Ron Evans tear down
change?
His deck.
Huh?
Yeah. We made Ron Evans tear down this.
Well, and I think the other
deck.
Concern when we saw the pictures is
on open space.
Even if the dock isn't on our property, they have to get to it. And they have to go across BCA property, if I'm correct, to get to their dock.
Every member is allowed to do that.
Yeah, but they're allowed.
Huh?
Yeah.
Every member is allowed to be on BCA.
Okay, so they're allowed to put the bridge or the wooden thing.
Temporary structure.
Yeah, but I mean, a temporary structure.
It's a temporary, like plankway, whatever it is.
Okay, so they put it down to get to the dock. When they come back, they take it up and take it off. Is that correct?
In principle.
Pretty much in principle. I mean, it's supposed to be a removable structure to get them to it.
Uh-huh.
So we'll go with in principle.
And if it's not, then it really violates the covenant stuff, right? I mean,
well, the covenants say you can't have docks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Any structure in open space.
Right. Yep, and I think that was my thought last time, was let's identify whether these docks are in open space or not. If they're in open space, as it stands right now, they've got to go. If this board wants to change that decision and allow docks, we need a standard. For those docks that are outside of that and on East-West Partnership, or anywhere else, the county has asked us for our input and opinion. We can certainly influence, but outside of that...
What if that 186-foot contour line goes through someone's backyard and it goes halfway across a $15,000 deck they built?
It did. I know it made Ron Evans tear it down.
But the house and the deck were there before. We're just talking about something that's been constructed within the last, say, year and a half.
And we allow decks, not necessarily in open space, but we at least allow decks in the community.
But the documents,
we don't allow docks at all.
That's correct. The documents under the waterfront property say that anything that's below, nothing can be constructed below the 180-foot contour line.
Well, that includes the water mm-hmm. and the land underneath it, which is not ours.
That's just what the documents say.
Well, the document's in conflict with basic real estate principle.
Well, then you need
if you don't own the property, you can't enforce a rule upon... I mean, well,
right, so there's some areas of that country area you can't enforce it.
So some areas of the 180-foot elevation are above the water, and actually all should be.
They will, pretty much, if they either run along the shoreline or they're back, or they're on the shoreline and they could be back as far as... along splitting somebody's property, really. It varies the whole way around the lake from what we could tell on the map. But
like
you have to change, you could, the other option is to change your documents, which will require 75% of the 5%.
Well, I think Keith helped us outline some decision points, and I think if we can move forward in those decision points, staff might be able to help by outlining those. You know, there are other additional ones we need to make, but let's start with what does the Teresa's review tell us in terms of where we are? What does that lead us in terms of decision points? And are there some other decision points we need to make along the way?
I'd like to know, you know, if that's the direction we're going to head. You know, I'm not comfortable with saying no docks, yes decks.
Well, our documents already say no docks.
The deck is in an open space. We've already had a precedent. We've moved. We've made somebody tear down a deck.
I understand, but your documents say no docks. So it's not a question of whether or not you're comfortable with docks or not.
I understand.
I mean, you can make a motion that we allow docks.
Docks just a deck in water. Well,
I merely submit to the board that this is not a single issue, and I'm not going to approach it that way.
The 180-foot contour line doesn't have anything to do with open space. The 180-foot contour line doesn't have anything to do with open space. That's just the contour line. You still have open space beyond that, and you also have a person's private lot. The 180-foot contour line is just to determine the distance between it and the lake and what can and cannot be placed there. They're different.
Yeah, in some areas there could be 100 feet of a very shallow grade, or there could be 2 feet.
But that has nothing to do with what you own.
It has nothing to do with your property line.
Right.
But we really just have to wait.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see. I just wanted to see where that her hunt was going.
Okay. Thanks for putting that in the agenda choice.
You've got to have one or two options in your presidency.
You're doing the agenda from there, Warren.
Okay. The announcements are listed at the bottom of your agenda. The board will now go into executive session to discuss a legal issue that has been presented to the board. Do I have a motion to enter executive session? Thanks, everybody. Tonight, it's always nice to see some of our members. Do we have a second to go into executive session? Yay.
Yay.